The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I think it should be noted that the focus on impermanence is here in the 13th stage of 16 stages. And it follows on the heels of a lot of stability in practice. The idea is that in doing the earlier stages, some of them involve developing a fair amount of concentration, which can be translated stability. So there's this kind of juxtaposition of the mind, the body and the mind being still, very stable. And then that stability, it has a greater capacity to open up to impermanence. And in fact, there's a kind of a reciprocal relationship that seems to exist between stillness and impermanence in this way. That the more agitated, the more the mind moves, the more agitated the mind is, the more the body can feel stable. The more stable, the more agitated the mind is, the more unstable. I'm not confusing myself. The more agitated the mind is, the more stable the body feels. The stiller the mind is, the more impermanent or instable the body feels. So it's kind of interesting. So the world will seem relatively stable, if the mind is agitated, partly because the agitated mind is getting caught up in concepts and ideas and thoughts, and this is the way things are, is. Whereas the still mind is not caught up in concepts. So in the still mind, the mind is still, quiet, stable, and so it's much more able to see, how things are actually changing all the time, the flow and change of things. So one of the things to study in this area of impermanence is not impermanence itself, but how we create permanence, how we construct it, how we tend to see things as if they're permanent. There certainly is stability and things that don't change for a while, but to what degree do we overlay our experience with a sense or idea of permanence? So I've had the experience, for example, of feeling kind of off one day and feeling depressed or something, and then feeling, basically, I know better, but somehow I'm operating on the principle that this is it. I'll be this way forever. And then a few hours later, a few days later, it's passed. And what was I thinking? Or when my kids were young, my older son was really young, and we had a hard time with him at home. My wife would look at me and say, "We're having one of those kinds of days." And that would, just her saying that, would overcome the delusion of permanence. Oh, just one of these days. And so there's a kind of delusion. Buddhism teaches that there's a delusion that goes into imputing or putting an idea of permanence on the world that we have around us. And so what is that? Where do we see it? How do we construct it? How does that happen, that we see things as being more stable than they actually are, or more constant than they actually are, or we see this being solid? And so you might make that a study for yourself, and you might actually talk to friends about this phenomenon as well. How is it that we construct? How is it we see things? How is it the mind adds on to things permanence when there's no permanence there? So it's not universal, but how is it? How does that work? How does that phenomena happen? And the more clearly you can become aware of that, the easier it is to become aware of impermanence, of how things change. So rather than going to impermanence directly, become aware of how we apply permanence on things. Make some sense? So the thing I start off by saying is that in order to see impermanence really well, it does really help to have a lot of stability, inner stability. And in fact, people who open up to impermanence without the inner stability, it can be kind of frightening or disturbing or agitating in itself. So they have this kind of, so that's why the whole earlier stages of being in your body, developing joy and concentration and aware of your mind, settling your mind, all these different aspects, is the background for opening up to a very deep experience of impermanence. So, impermanence just keeps moving on. It's time for lunch.